I'm going to use as my text verse this morning the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. I was with my father-in-law this week, and somehow our conversation came around to this verse, and he said, you know, that's really not the shortest verse in the Bible. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you go back to the Greek and you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, to that little verse that says, rejoice evermore. In the original Greek, that verse was one word, ever rejoicing. And I said, well, I don't know about that. I know that's a good verse, but it just seemed that as we talked about that and as he mentioned that to me, that the Lord laid this little two-word verse on my heart. This week, Jesus wept, and all week it just kept going over in my mind, over and over in my mind. And I thought I would search the scriptures. I had some extra time. We were down visiting with them because I wanted to go into the Bible, and I wanted to find out all the times that Jesus wept. We know about this time in John chapter 11. I'll talk just about a little bit about that in just a second. But I said, surely there must be other times in the Bible where the Savior wept. I said, surely there must have been a time around the crucifixion. I mean, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest him and all his disciples forsook him and left him alone. I mean, these were the ones that he'd spent 3 years, 3.5 years with teaching and getting ready to be his representatives after he went back to heaven. And in the time when he needed them the most, in the time of his greatest need, they all just deserted him and left him. Surely Jesus shed some tears there. But as I went back and I read from the four Gospels that story, I find no record of his weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. As I went back and I read the story of the crucifixion again this week, and we talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning, as they formed that crown of thorns and put it on his head, as they took that whip and whipped him 39 times, lashed him 39 times, as they beat him with rods, as they spit upon him, as they nailed him to the cross, as he endured the shame and the suffering there, I said, surely he must have wept there. Surely he must have shed some tears there. But as I read the Gospels, I find no record in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John of Jesus shedding any tears at the crucifixion. In fact, as I studied my Bible this week, I only find two times in all of the scriptures where Jesus wept. And I think those two times tell us something about the heart of our Savior. You see, the two times that Jesus wept were these. Number one, he wept when people that he loved were hurting. He wept with them. You remember the story? Lazarus and Mary and Martha, brother and two sisters, were Jesus' friends. He loved them. They loved him. And he would often come to their home and fellowship with them and eat with them. Word came to Jesus. He was a little distance away. Mary and Martha sent it to him and said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. They thought he would surely come immediately. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him work mighty wonders. And they knew that if Jesus could come, he could take their brother and restore him to health. They didn't ask him to come in their message. They knew that if he knew Lazarus was sick, they were certain that he would come immediately and bring healing. The Bible says when that word came that he tarried there or stayed there for another couple days. And by the time he got to Bethany, where they lived, Lazarus has already been dead and laid in the grave for 4 days. Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. I think she said that with tears. I think she said, Master, we know that you could heal the sick. We know that you could work mighty wonders. And if you would have come, if you would have just touched his body, he would have been well. He wouldn't have died. And Jesus said to Martha, she says, Martha, he's going to live again. And she said, I know he will. I know he'll live in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that, Martha? And Martha said, well, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. Martha calls Mary, her sister. Mary comes out of the house where she was, and she runs to the place where Jesus was, and she said the same thing. Through tears, she said, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You could have made him well. We've seen you do it to others. You could surely do it for this one that you loved. And when the Bible says that when Jesus saw her weeping, and he said, and it says when he saw Martha weeping, and when he saw their friends weeping, that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now let me remind you, he knew what was coming. He knew in just a minute he was going to stand in the middle of that Jewish cemetery and cry out, Lazarus, come forth! He knew in just a minute that there was going to be an empty grave. He knew in just a minute there were going to be some grave clothes that would be laid aside because they were no longer needed. He knew that he was going to call forth this one who was dead back to life. And yet, when Jesus saw these people who he loved hurting and weeping, the Bible says that he wept. You know a wonderful thing about our Savior? He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's one of the blessed truths I want to remind you of this morning. When we weep, our Savior weeps with us. When we weep, we don't weep alone. The Son of God sees our tears, and he weeps with us. I thought about some of our folks this week. I thought about a lady in our church who just a couple years ago celebrated her 50th wedding anniversary. Her husband now has Alzheimer's disease, and every week it gets a little bit worse. And sometimes when she comes out the back, she tells me what's happened that week. And she weeps. I want to remind you this morning, you don't weep alone. We don't weep alone. Jesus sees us when we weep. He hurts when we hurt. And he weeps when we weep. I thought about those in our church that have lost loved ones, spouses, children, brothers, sisters. Some recently, some years ago. For some of those, we've stood by the casket together as a church, and we've wept. I want to remind you this morning, we don't weep alone. Every tear that we shed is noticed by our Savior. And when we hurt, he hurts. And when we weep, he weeps. I thought about those in our church whose marriages have been torn apart. Their spouses have left them. Their homes have been broken. They face life alone. I've sat with some of them when it happened. I've caught their tears and I've cried with them. I want to remind you this morning, when we weep, we don't weep by ourselves. What a Savior he is. He knows every trial and every tear that we weep. He weeps with us. I thought about those in our church that have children that have left the track. They've gone and gotten off the teaching and the upbringing that they had, and they've disappointed and hurt mom and dad. How many tears have mom and dads shed because of a wayward child? I want to remind you this morning, you don't weep alone. When we hurt, he hurts. When we weep, he weeps. I thought about those in our church whose health has been broken, and they have to live the rest of their life with a medical condition. They won't ever get to do what they used to do. They won't ever get any better. I thought about those in our church that will be facing surgery in the coming days. I spent some time praying for you this week, and last night. And I wept. Say, preacher, where's your faith? Trust God. I do trust God. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still worried. And I still weep. And I didn't have a vision or anything last night. But when I knelt at that first pew, and I prayed for some of our folks, and I cried, it was as if there was an arm put around my shoulder. And the Son of God said to me, you don't weep by yourself. There's somebody that weeps with you. What a Savior he is. What a wonderful Savior. There's a second time in the Bible where Jesus wept. The first time was when those folks that he loved were hurting. The second time was what some celebrate today, Palm Sunday, when he rode that little donkey into Jerusalem and the people put down their clothes and the branches of those palm trees and proclaimed him as King of the Jews. In Luke chapter 20, after that had happened, it says this, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. You want to know why Jesus wept over Jerusalem? It tells us in the next few verses. I won't take the time to read them. We're almost out of time. But let me tell you why he wept over Jerusalem. Because he said, Jerusalem, I came unto you. I told you how you could have peace with God. I told you how you could have salvation. I preached myself. And yet you rejected me. You said no. Jesus weeps not only when those that he loves hurt, but Jesus weeps when the gospel is presented and people reject him. You see, the Bible says that every single person here this morning is a sinner. It says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says also in the book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty that we owe to God because of our sin. And that penalty is eternal separation from our God. But God loved us, and even when we were sinners. And I don't know why, I agree with Brother Wendell. I don't know what kind of sinner you are this morning. I don't need to know. I know what kind of Savior we have. It was a Savior who, when we were sinners, went to the cross and died for us. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when he went to the cross, he purchased for us, he paid the penalty for our sin. And he offers to each person this morning that gift, a gift of salvation, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this morning, every single person here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior has a decision to make. And did you know this? The decision you make in the next few moments will determine what happens in heaven. You say, Brother Darrell, what do you mean? The decision I make in the next few moments. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the decision that you make in the next few moments will determine what happens in heaven. Because you see, if you decide to receive Christ, if you'll say, yes, I'm a sinner. Even the little boy morning, they know that they're sinners. I mean, they know that they've lied. They know that they've disobeyed their parents. You don't have to work hard to convince them they're sinners. And every single person here is a sinner. And this morning, if you'll admit that you're a sinner, and you will understand that the penalty for that sin was paid by Jesus Christ when he went to the cross, and if you will receive that, then the Bible says there will be joy in heaven. Sometimes I think I can see into heaven. Not again because I have any vision. I just picture it in my mind. I picture in my mind what happens when somebody says yes to the Savior. I picture in my mind what happens when somebody says, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, and Jesus, I believe you died for me, and right now I'm trusting you to be my Savior. The Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And yet I think every single person that prays and asks Jesus to be their Savior, he stands to his feet, starts clapping his hands, and they start having rejoicing in heaven because one sinner has received Christ. But if you're here this morning and you reject Christ, if you say no, if you walk out that door not knowing that Jesus is your Savior and you're on your way to heaven, you know what will happen? And you know what will happen there? I think if we could look into heaven, I think we'd see tears come to the Savior's eye. I think we'd see the Son of God, even though he's sitting by the right hand of the Father, and even though he's the Prince of Heaven, when somebody hears the gospel and they say no, I think he weeps just like he did over Jerusalem. What are you going to do this morning? If you're here and you're a Christian, I want you to rejoice because we have a Savior who knows every time we weep, and he weeps with us. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd like to invite you to receive him. I'd like to recommend him to you. Not only does he forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven, but he brings peace and joy into your life like you've never experienced. The world can say they can give it to you, but they're all liars. They can't give you the peace and joy that Christ gives. And so this morning I would encourage you, if you don't know Christ, would you receive him? Would you make him yours? You say, how do I do that? You just take it. You just take it. You say a little prayer. I mean, it doesn't have to be these exact words, but a little prayer like this. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of that sin. But I believe when you died on the cross, you died and paid my penalty for me. And right now, I receive what you purchased for me on Calvary. And the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you do that this morning? That's what we prayed for last night. We prayed that there would be somebody here this morning that didn't know Jesus. And this morning, they would make the decision to receive him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for being a wonderful Savior who went to the cross and died for us. And I pray this morning for that one or two or how many ever there are here this morning that doesn't know Christ. I pray this morning would be the day that they decide to receive him. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. You know the burdens of our heart. When we weep by ourselves, you see us. And you weep with us. Thank you for loving us so much that you do that. Father, bless the invitation. I give it in Jesus' name. And you use it. And you speak to people, Holy Spirit. And you have them do what you know that they need to do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.